You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
This might be college football heaven.
We're in Tuscaloosa. Where else in the world? Well, maybe one other place. Could we be on a Friday afternoon? What a weekend it is going to be. We say hello to you again, the second hour, we are jam-packed. We started with Tim Tebow, we had Elle, we had Holly Rowe, Roman, and now Miles Jr. and Christine Williamson. You see both of them all the time, all over ESPN. Tomorrow morning they'll do the countdown to game day show. And guys, it's great to see you. I feel like I've been on the other side of a camera with you right. many times, Harry, I know. So I realize you just got here. I always hate to ask people that just got here, hey, what's it been like? Because, I hadn't even checked in yet. But this is pretty amazing. I mean, I know some people are trying to say that the only game that matters is wherever Coach Prime is. And in some ways, that is true. But this isn't bad either.
Yeah, I feel like it's going to be obviously a big one in Colorado, but this is also going to be a really huge one. This is my first time in Tuscaloosa, so I'm very excited to kind of see the energy of Alabama fans and what you guys can actually do. We went to the Texas-Alabama game last year, obviously, in Austin. So, I'm excited to kind of get a taste of Tuscaloosa and see what it's all about.
A taste of Tuscaloosa would conceive of a lot of barbecue.
Yeah, that's what I've heard. That's what
Harry, you know this part of the world a little bit better. So
yeah, I do. I actually have spent a couple of Thanksgivings out here. I got some extended family, some Alabama graduates in my family, so I know Tuscaloosa, but this is my first time out here in almost two decades, so it's almost like it's new again for me. But even just driving out here, just seeing everybody, the excitement, like I think tomorrow is going to be a special day.
Yeah, it's different.
Yeah, and even if Texas was not about to enter the SEC, these two schools are, they have played for a national championship in addition to last year, but there's a lot of similarities. And I was speaking to a group of University of Alabama and Texas journalism students before the show. And they asked me try to describe both. And these are fairly identical groups. I mean, they both think that the college football world revolves around them.
Yep.
I mean, there's no shortage of arrogance when it comes to even at Alabama. I get, Harry. I don't really know if I understand Texas. It's been a while.
Yeah, but, it's funny you mention that because I remember when we were out at Oregon last year, and it was one of the biggest crowds we had for college game day. And I remember saying to you and our co-host, Harry Douglas, like, hey, there's a lot of people out here. They're very excited. They love their football team. It's not going to ruin their day.
Yeah.
The result of this game. It's not going to ruin their day. Tomorrow is going to ruin some days, and it's going to make some days and maybe even make some years. So that, to me, is really the difference, especially when you talk about programs like Alabama and Texas. Like, this is everything.
Right, for sure.
Harry, more than ruin their day, some people will ruin their life.
100%.
It could be bad.
I spent a lot of time, Christine, in Birmingham, and if these people are still around, then I'm sorry, I'm bringing up bad memories. But there was a case where about 20 years ago, Alabama lost to Arkansas in overtime.
Mm-hmm.
And about 10 minutes later, this like 16 or 17-year-old asked his father if he could borrow the car keys. And the guy said, you want to leave here? You're going someplace? He said, I'm going out. He said, you're going out after Alabama lost? And they started arguing, and I kid you not, this is the guy, nothing terrible happened other than the father pulled out a gun and tried to shoot his son. This wasn't an Arkansas, this wasn't an Alabama-Auburn.
Right, exactly.
This was a father and a son because the son was not upset enough that his team had lost a football game.
I'm curious if it's that big of a deal to Texas fans.
Used to losing.
Yeah, exactly. that's the biggest thing. Like, Texas fans, I don't think take it as seriously as Alabama fans. Maybe this game will be very huge for them, but I feel like they would definitely move on. I feel like Alabama fans, you guys take it pretty hard when you guys take some L's.
And Christine,
which is not often.
That's true.
I thought back in July when we all started pointing toward football that this was going to be a back and forth Texas. This week it just seems like everybody's on Alabama. Am I missing something?
Really?
I feel like it's
I feel like it's kind of even.
Of course, so I feel like more people are starting to get the confidence to pick Texas, but I think everybody, and I mean, I'm picking Alabama. I think.
Yeah.
I just. So the thing that we're going to find out Saturday is Steve Sarkisian going to be the one guy to do the thing that Alabama has not done since Mack Brown left, which is make good of the talent that you've got.
Right.
Right.
And I don't know how many times this week I've heard, and I'm sure, you know, you guys have heard it as well because covering the game, of, hey, this might be their best roster since that 09 team that played in the 10 championship. And that's a high bar.
Yeah.
And I think the biggest question, interestingly enough, everybody's had about Alabama is at the quarterback position. And I personally am not nearly as concerned as everybody else is.
I think after last week, you can say that you're not as concerned because you saw what Jalen Milroe was actually able to do, and he proved that he is the guy. I mean, I know there were just a lot of questions before they actually named their starter. But I feel like for Texas, Quinn Ewers, what he did last year before he obviously got injured, and then after he got injured, moving forward throughout the season, there were a lot of questions. But I feel like the biggest question for Alabama is what the offense is able to do outside of Jalen Milroe, right? Like all of the wide receivers, whether or not they're actually going to be able to prove themselves this season. There's a lot of questions surrounding that. So I feel like it's kind of equal, but I think after last week, what Jalen Milroe and the offense was able to do, I feel like it is kind of leaning a little bit more towards Alabama.
With Harry Lyles Jr. and Christine Williamson, Harry and Christine, I've done a couple of shows this week on the network, and the Alabama game may come up, it may not, but Deion Sanders comes up every time.
Oh, of course. For sure.
Explain this story to those tuning in going, I don't get it.
You don't get it?
No, I mean, I'm talking about... I get it.
Wait, what's going on?
But a lot of people don't.
So, I mean, I guess the short of it is, first off, to me, I think a lot of people, as far as the expectations, because I think that seems to have become the story now, is that a lot of people just assume that, you know, I think that they're over-under, which I'm not into the whole gambling thing, but I think it was like 2.5. And a lot of people were going under on that.
Yeah.
I just always thought that that was sort of ridiculous. And, you know, the impetus for that is they went 1-11 last year. They have basically 80 new players. I think 50 are transfers, 30 are incoming freshmen that they recruited. My whole thing was just like, you know, obviously a lot of people did not like how he said, hey, everybody that's here, you got to go hit the portal.
Right.
Which he's not the only person doing that. That's literally happening all over the country, including at Group of Five schools. That's just how college football works now. But I don't think people considered when you're 1-11 and you tell everybody to leave and you bring in Travis Hunter, who was the number one player in his class, was going to go to Florida State. I think people forget that day was a huge deal when he flipped to Jackson. Shedeur Sanders was a high 4-star. They've got a bunch of other 4-stars and high 3s on that team. And now everybody sort of the talking point was they're going to be bad, they're going to be bad, they're going to be bad. And then they show up. And Shedeur throws for 510 yards. Travis Hunter plays 500 snaps.
Yeah.
And everybody's like, oh, my gosh, where did all these good players come from? He's like, well, bro, Deion told you they were coming. But this is unique in college football because we have not seen it done to this scale. And so now I think that's a lot of the intrigue tomorrow is, and that game is sort of, you know, one that's going to set the trajectory for both their season and Nebraska's, is the winner of that game really feels like, okay, they're in the driver's seat in their season and they will carry that momentum to where they feel like it needs to go.
I feel like people have wanted Deion to not succeed. I think that's the biggest thing. Like, I feel like because he's been doing things so differently, they've been like, this isn't going to work. We haven't seen this blueprint before. It's not going to work like this. And I think that's been the reason that people have had so many doubts. Now, obviously, they did what they did against TCU. They have to see, we'll see what they do against Nebraska. But I think even if he's not able to beat Nebraska, like, I'm curious how the conversation is moving forward, because we know Colorado likely is not going to be in the CFP. They're not going to be a team that we're talking about deep into the season in the same way. So I'm curious how the conversation shifts when that happens, because I think a lot of people haven't wanted Deion to succeed just because he is doing things so differently.
Well, I think that's a really interesting point, because there are very few athletes that are so big, or coaches that, like, I think of Tiger Woods 25 years ago, and, you know, there was, I don't know what the percentage was, but you watched him either to pull for him or against him. I mean, there was nothing. Yep. It didn't matter what hole he was on Thursday or Friday. You were keeping up with it. And with Deion, I think it will be fascinating, guys, to see what happens. Let's, even if they do lose, I still think he's a story the next week, especially when USC
100%.
Shows up.
Yeah, for sure.
100%. And I think it's going to be a week-to-week thing, because regardless, the other thing about this, too, and I think it's part of the reason that a lot of people don't like him, is that he is going to talk about whatever it is that they've got going on, and people are going to listen. We are going to talk about it.
Yeah.
If they lose on Saturday, whatever his post-game press conference is, whatever the meat of those quotes are going to be, those are going to be on SportsCenter. They're going to be on GetUp. They're going to be everywhere. And that's just going to be a thing. And I still think that the expectation is that he will turn that around eventually.
Mm-hmm.
Because people, and people forget too, like these players, they want to play for Deion.
Exactly. That's a big
and one. How do you, okay, I think that's the most interesting part. I saw the Travis Etienne quote the other day that was immediately pulled down, but I would be concerned at a lot of places that aren't doing well that one of my guys is getting out of there quickly to go play for Deion.
Yeah, and also you can make money at Colorado now. Like, you can get NIL deals that are different than what you can get other places. You have so many eyes on you, whether you're winning or losing. Like you said, post-game, whether they win or lose to Nebraska, everybody's going to be talking about what Deion is saying in the post-game. There's so many eyes on the players that are at Colorado that I feel like players, they want to play for Prime. They know he's no BS. Like, he's gonna require 100% out of you. Like, all of his quotes have been absolutely amazing. And it's just, I feel like it pushes the players to another level that a lot of coaches, I feel like don't really, they can't connect to players in the same way that Prime is. So I feel like, it's going to be tough for a lot of coaches when it comes to recruiting, because a lot of people are going to want to play for Prime.
Christine and Harry, we'll see you both tomorrow on Countdown to Game Day. It's really great to see both of you in person.
For sure.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
It was a blast. We will take a break. We're live in Tuscaloosa. Got a lot more to do today. Stick around.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Let's take a look at today's Gridiron Guest, brought to you by Johnsonville. And I think since the inception of this segment, it's always been the same person. So if you don't show up one day...
You know what's crazy?
We don't have
a segment. You know, we do a Johnsonville... Take us to the Gridiron Breakdown every week. I'm not doing a sponsorship with Johnsonville.
I know.
I'll take a couple of sausage links or something for the weekend.
I think they saw
paid.
You one day eat the one day they brought it out. And
totally.
I assure you, when it comes to that part of the business, I just read what they tell me to read. But great to see you. Let's get into the – everybody's trying to figure out the quarterback situation tomorrow. And I'm still waiting for an expert to tell me what it's all about. And you are an expert.
I think it's interesting. You're talking about Alabama, right? Texas has theirs settled. Alabama's interesting. I did the game last week. I think there was a lot of good. And I think there was a lot of, I don't know if that's going to win us a game that's tight where we got to throw the football. And that's why I look at it. I think, look, this is a different offense as far as the physicality. I do love that Tommy Reese went a ton more 12 personnel. We saw a lot of two tight end sets. Amari Nyblack was someone that was in the blocking scheme as well as making big plays downfield. So I feel good about the personnel grouping, the creativity of the run game. What happens if Texas jumps up 14 points? How does that change things, right? Because Milroe was solid. throwing the football, but he missed a few deep, missed one to Isaiah Bond. Even the touchdown throw to Burton was a little inside. If that's a Texas corner, not sure that's a touchdown catch there. Missed one to Ja'Cory Brooks as well. So I still think there's questions about how prolific they can be throwing the football. But I'll say the one thing that no one's talking about, I'm going to try to break it down tomorrow, is that we went from a QB-centric offense with Bryce Young, where he handled everything at the offensive line, right? Protection changes, audibles, all of that. Middle Tennessee last week started keying on the fact that Alabama was sliding to the field in their six-man pro almost every time. So they started bringing a backside, and they got one-on-one matchups between a linebacker and a running back over and over and over. Milroe got sacked twice on that. So they're going to have to find a way for Milroe to be able to change some things at the line of scrimmage, because if they don't, Texas is going to go, I know what you're doing this week. I'm going to attack it, and that could lead to more protection issues down the road. That's what you get when you change from a Heisman Trophy winning quarterback that can handle everything at line of scrimmage and a quarterback that's really talented, but it's more plug and play, let's roll this play and be successful.
Jordan, in terms of the other side, I mean, the defense, the whole setup's going to be different from the Texas side. What, if you're Tommy Rees and Nick Saban, especially Tommy Rees, what would you be concerned about as you get ready for this game? What do you want to keep Jalen Milroe away from?
I want to keep him away from forcing throws. I think when he gets in trouble is sometimes on those play actions where there may be only three guys in a route and they're blocking with seven. When a shot play is called, it doesn't mean you have to take a shot. And I think that's one of the things we try to learn as quarterbacks is just because it's a shot is called doesn't mean a shot has to be taken. A lot of times a check down is the best thing. So if I'm Tommy Rees, I'm really stressing the fact to Jalen Milroe that, hey, when I call this play, yeah, we're trying to hit a big one downfield, Isaiah Bond or Jermaine Burton. If it's not there, use your legs to run. Check the ball down. Make a play because we'll come back to it. A lot of times as quarterbacks in these big moments, we think we called a play that was a home run in practice. We hit it every time. I have to hit that throw. And sometimes it's not there. And if we force those, that's where the interceptions start to come into play. And that's where Nick Saban, this spring, this summer, stressed more than anything, my quarterback has to stop making the plays that lose us games before he makes the plays that win us games.
Jordan, people look at the score and they feel great, and obviously there's a lot to be happy about. You were doing the game, so you were not just watching the highlights. People have made a lot out of Alabama's lack of rushing yards.
Yeah.
Is that situational? Is that because of certain other circumstances, or is that a concern?
I think it's mildly a concern, right? I mean, look, we've heard about this Alabama offensive line. I think they are really good. They didn't come out and just flat out dominate the Middle Tennessee defensive front seven like I thought they would. Now I will say, Middle Tennessee is one of the more difficult teams on defense to scheme against because they bring the kitchen sink at you. So every blitz, every angle, every twist, again, something that if you had more time to prep, more games under your belt to watch them this season, maybe it would have been a little bit better. I think the physicality is there. I think it wasn't perfect, but I would say I'm not like this run game can take over anybody. This run game can dominate any front seven. I'm not there yet. I didn't see that yet. So that would be kind of like not a big concern, but that's a mild concern. Can they line up and just win when they want to win against a team like Texas? Because they could at times against Middle Tennessee, but not every time.
On the other side, Quinn Ewers has been good and average at times, but he's highly touted, and I think sometimes people are stuck on that. What do you see when you watch him on film?
It's interesting. So I did the Washington-Texas bowl game last year, and that was peak. Arch Manning's coming. He's going to be the savior. I left that meeting with Quinn Ewers, and me and my colleague Cole Kublik were talking. I don't know if I've ever sat in front of a quarterback that's as talented, as hyped as him, that felt like he was lacking confidence in himself, and it was glaring. And I think that's because of everything that was going on around him. Now, I love the fact that Sark made the declaration early in spring. Quinn's our guy. Quinn's changed some things about his persona, what you see about him. He's changing his diet, his preparation. But I will say there is no more pressure on anybody in college football than Quinn Ewers tomorrow, because this actually is Texas being back. This is the roster that every year we've heard Texas is back, we've kind of been like, yeah, but the roster's not quite there. This year we're hearing it. We're going, the roster's there. They have talent on the outside. They have Quinn. Sark's one of the best designers of plays in the entire country. The defense is stout. They have playmakers. It is on Quinn Ewers' shoulders. If he can change this game early, making it into a game where Alabama has to be what they aren't, a passing team, it could be, it could get really interesting.
Everyone talks about him, and you mentioned the roster. Who else on this roster could be an X factor, somebody we're talking about late Saturday night?
Everyone knows Xavier Worthy. Alabama's got some dudes that can cover. I mean, if he's in a one-on-one against Kool-Aid, that's going to be concerning, but Kool-Aid's a damn good corner. I think it's really the other guys. Jordan Winnington, one of the wide receivers for Texas, and A.D. Mitchell's a name that SEC fans should know well, right? I mean, it's A.D. Mitchell's bad. He's healthy. Never really transpired at Georgia up to the hype and the talent that he has. One of those two guys is going to have a big game because Alabama will take away Worthy when they can. They're not going to limit him to nothing. He's going to make his plays, but they're going to make you throw it to the other guys to beat him. And if one of those guys can step up, that's what Texas has to have.
Talking to Jordan Rogers, Jordan, just in terms of the chess match, you mentioned Sark. Holly Rowe was with us earlier. She described him as one of those standalone offensive coordinators. Alabama fans should know that.
Yeah.
But what sets him apart from almost everyone else?
I don't know if I've ever broken down an offensive coordinator that does as good of a job at making in-game adjustments. Not just in-game adjustments and coming to it later, but he will see something. I did a breakdown a couple years ago about a play that was like, hey, here's what he saw. And three plays later, he came back to it. So it's not, oh, hey, we're going to attack this later. We'll come back to it a quarter later. He sees something, and he goes after it right away. So if you show something, a flaw, you roll the wrong way, you have a matchup that he likes, he's not going to put it in his back pocket and go, oh, we'll use that one later. He's going to come at you right away. So there is not a better guy that sees it and attacks it with an immediacy on the field. I think that's what he is best at, designing plays, making subtle adjustments to scheme to attack something that he saw in real time. That's what's dangerous. So one of the things we're going to break down tomorrow as well is Texas will go formation into the boundary. They'll stack everybody except for Xavier Worthy into the short side of the field. Alabama's going to have to decide, what do we do? Do we put our better cover guys over there? Do we put linebackers over there? What do we do with Worthy? When you see that tomorrow, and we're going to break it down on Nation, but when you see that, when Worthy's by himself on one side of the field, that's going to be giving Sark information. And they're going to show it once, and they're probably not going to do anything. But the next time they come back to that, they're going to have a play dialed up to exactly what Alabama's adjustment was, and that's what makes him so brilliant. And that's why it's going to be fun to watch.
Finally, we talk so much about offense, but the defensive matchups. I realize it's hard to quantify that, but take a look at both sides. You mentioned Kool-Aid. Is there an edge there for one school over the other?
I think Alabama has the edge just because I think their defense is still a little bit underrated with what they have. Now look, Malachi Moore, his health, and Key on the back end, those are going to be two pieces that how healthy they are they healthy, how much they play, that's going to be huge. But we still haven't been introduced to Dallas Turner as a superstar, and I do believe he is. I believe he will be used and will be as effective as the way that Will Anderson has been. He's going to be a big factor in this game because I do believe Alabama is going to move him around more. They didn't need to last week. They didn't. They tried to show as little as possible. I think he's going to be a guy that is going to be special. And another name, I left the Middle Tennessee game, and every time I felt like I looked up, Deontay Lawson was on the ball. They have speed. They have talent at every level, Alabama does. I do believe their defense is overlooked at times. I believe it's going to be a very tough test for Texas. And I believe a couple of those names that I just mentioned are guys that are going to be dudes at the end of the year, and they're going to make a big impact tomorrow.
Jordan Rogers, I don't think there's much we have left out in that breakdown. Thank you very much, and they got a couple of brats for you.
Yeah, where are those?
We're suffering through. Jordan Rogers, thank you very much. We are back right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and The Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Welcome back. Great to have Pete Thamel here. We talk to Pete all the time, but rarely do we get to see him during the football season in person. Pete's here, of course, with College Game Day. Pete, there was on a day where most people should be celebrating the weekend, there was some big news today from the West Coast. What's it all about?
Yeah, you never know where college football is going to take you, and it took me to a state courthouse in Whitman County in the Palouse of Washington, where Washington State's located. The presidents and universities, Washington State and Oregon State, filed basically an injunction against the Pac-12. And at the heart of it, Paul, not surprisingly, is control and money. With two teams left in the Pac-12, they want to assure, essentially, that those two schools comprise the board of directors. Now, there are tens and tens of millions of dollars of assets at stake. $42 million at the end of fiscal 22, the lawsuit stated. There's also another estimated $50 million in NCAA tournament units. And believe it or not, the Pac-12 network, often the butt of jokes in our industry, made $40 million last year. And the network infrastructure is worth money. So essentially at the core of this suit is Washington State and Oregon State wanting to keep their options open. And if there are enough assets, now there's liabilities, the overpayment to Comcast, there's tens of millions potentially owed there. But if Washington State and Oregon State can leverage those assets and essentially invite or have an amicable merger with the Mountain West, they could use that as a pot of money to also keep the Pac-12 name. There's a meeting Wednesday scheduled of the quote-unquote board of directors. Now, the board of directors should only be two people because everyone else has given their notice of withdrawal. So what Washington State and Oregon State are trying to do is essentially establish control and say, we are the board, we are in control going forward, and not surprisingly, it's going to be a home game for Washington State there in Whitman County.
Yeah, I'm not my legal expertise on temporary injunctions is not high, but it can be. You can get one, and then there's another court involved.
Yes, so I do think what they have done is basically pointed out the hypocrisy of the Pac-12 calling a board meeting and inviting everybody and saying potentially that there could be a vote. So it almost seems like a preliminary strike to chart their course forward. And it seems like this hints that their course forward is going to be leveraging these assets and trying that amicable merger with the Mountain West. So instead of going to the Mountain West where you only make $7 million a year, they're going to say, come, we'll share this pot of money with you. And if you can keep the same TV deal, you could potentially maybe double your revenue annually for the next couple years. And I do think there is value in the Pac-12 name. Right? There's 108 years of history. Jackie Robinson, Lou Alcindor, Reggie. I mean, the Pac-12 name is something. Now, if it's a Pac-12 with Wyoming and Fresno, it's different than with UCLA and Stanford. But I do think that there's a line in the sand there, and they're looking out for their best interest, as everybody is in college athletics right now.
Pete, I had a friend text me, I think it was late Monday or Sunday night, saying after Florida State beat LSU, and he said, the SEC needs to invite Florida State to join immediately. And I'm like, I realize fans see things in simplistic terms, but
he didn't live in Gainesville, I'm guessing.
But it didn't hurt Florida State to do something like that, which brings me back to a week ago. It seems like a year ago now when the ACC got larger, that, you know, the animus coming from the three schools, Florida State, North Carolina, and Clemson, seems to be pretty strong. What do you see down the road? We all know the obstacles, but it's certainly not solving the cocktail party when that conference gets together.
Yes. I think from the macro, Florida State's public temper tantrum with its president did not help its case to the SEC. I think you know Greg Sankey as well as I do. He's a pretty staid, focused guy. You see a school do that, and you immediately think, do I want that in my league? So, again, does it really matter at the end of the day? No, but it certainly wasn't a great look for Florida State to handle their business the way they did. But as we know in the SEC, Paul, we just saw Hugh Freeze, it's much more important what you do on the field.
It does matter.
Than anything else. That is what really means more. And so, look, Florida State, if they win at Clemson at the end of the month, is on a charted course for a playoff spot. And that is big for a school that's spent a decade wandering in the wilderness. And so, for the ACC, holistically, their ESPN deal is through 2036. Will they stay at 17/18 members through 2036? I highly doubt it. The question comes, and I think I've said this on your show multiple times, where is the tension point? When is the tension point? Because remember, leaving is a three-pronged risk. Risk one, you have to pay $120 million. I don't care who you are or where you are. That's a lot of cheese. Risk two is you need to sue to get your rights back, or you have to negotiate to get your rights. So the exit fee doesn't give you the rights to your games. So step two is a legal step or another very expensive step. And then step three is you need an invitation to go to a league, which they don't have right now. Now, look, Florida State, Clemson, and North Carolina especially is probably atop those two on the list, are going to find a home at some point when this big game of risk and chess is done. But you have to clear the legal hurdles before you get an invitation, or else it's tortious interference. So these are not linear, easy, risk-averse steps for these schools to take. When are they going to take them? Well, the next deadline to look at is August 15th, if they want to go before the following season, which would be the 25 season. So August 15th to 24, they have to notify if they want to be in another league in 25. And there is some sense when you talk to the schools that have explored this, Paul, that we may have to spend a year in the wilderness. Florida State acknowledged that out loud. We have to be an independent for a minute before we get our we get things together legally and can push forward. So as the SEC goes, it certainly makes sense that folks in Gainesville wouldn't want their rival in-state to join their league. That's their recruiting advantage. The SEC has become a financial advantage. It's become a brand advantage. It's become a destination. Kids want to play there. So it would be pretty interesting to see then. But if you're the SEC, and again, it's the game of spy versus spy, I think I've talked about before. Up in suburban Chicago, there's a little Periscope up. Up in Birmingham, there's a Periscope up. If you're in Birmingham, do you want the Big Ten to plant its flag in the Panhandle? Do you want the Big Ten to plant its flag in Miami? Do you want the Big Ten to plant its flag in South Carolina? Those are the questions they're asking in SEC boardrooms right now.
Yeah, and listen, I can't speak for anyone but myself, but that money, once you start merging everything together, may not seem quite as high.
No, I mean those are big dollar figures. But if you do end up making the pot of money that these SEC schools are going to make, $70 million, $80 million a year, you will eventually catch up. And that's the math that's being done.
I realize I'm putting in the role of a PhD in some data lab, but I mean the value of North Carolina, Florida State, and Clemson, what do they bring to the SEC?
Well, North Carolina is very clear. It's a contiguous state. That term is often used when you go through the history of SEC realignment.
Right.
Missouri, contiguous state. Texas, contiguous state. Oklahoma, contiguous state. So you bump up from South Carolina, North Carolina. You bring the Raleigh-Durham market. You bring the Charlotte market. You bring some darn good high school football, yeah. Paul. So I think North Carolina is the 8th or 9th most populous state in the U.S. Geography teachers forgive me for not having my stats together. But that is a really attractive package. And look, if you're in Las Vegas, Seattle, or Iowa, and you show someone Carolina blue, they can tell you. That brand is powerful. So that's the value that they bring. Look, Florida State, when it's a teeming, rollicking, tomahawk-chopping brand, it's as vibrant as any in the sport. So there's some significant value there. They have finally invested that. From post-Bowden to the last 2 or 3 years, the leadership at Florida State was negligent in how they invested in their program. Stadium facility, practice facility. It looked like a high school practice facility for a while. So they are now righting those wrongs under Mike Alford, and they're putting themselves in position to sort of look like an SEC program again, or look like a high-end top 10 program again, which, let's face it, like, what has transformed the SEC more than anything in the last 2 decades? Well, the money allows you to buy the facilities. And places like Mississippi State felt like they had to build like places like Alabama in order to compete because they were getting these big checks. And the tide has raised all boats. And so, yeah, and look, Clemson's a national championship caliber team. And look, they lost Monday. They could slump and win 10 games again, Paul.
Yeah.
Like, it's a pretty darn good program. NFL scouts aren't going to stop driving up there. If you look at the talent they have on their defensive line and at linebacker especially, I mean, their sin right now is they don't have the best quarterback in college football, which they basically had for a 6-year span. So, I don't think that was a hopeless game. I think that was a careless game and a worrisome game for Clemson. But I'm going to doubt Dabo. I need a little more empirical evidence to doubt him.
He needed a helping hand after this week. Pete, thank you. Great stuff. Pete Thamel joining us as we continue here on a Friday afternoon in Tuscaloosa.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Saturday, Ball State starts it off, the number one team in the country in Athens. The afternoon game is Arkansas hosting Kent State. And Saturday night, how about this? Arizona, before they head to the Big 12, take on Mississippi State in Starkville. So it's pretty amazing on this particular program, which is known throughout the world as a caller-driven show, that we are nearly 2 hours in and have not taken a call. So we always try to take a few calls whenever we get a moment on Friday afternoon. Why don't we start with where am I? Robin, go right ahead. You're on the air.
Yeah, is there a problem? Does the SEC just not want Florida State and Clemson?
Well, no, it's not a matter of that. You have to remember, and I don't know how much you heard of our previous caller, but there's a price tag. You can't just, the SEC cannot just go out and say, okay, we want you. If the SEC did that, they could be sued for hundreds of millions of dollars. So what has to happen is Florida State or anybody else has to extricate themselves from the league, pay whatever buyout they have to by breaking the grant of rights. And we're talking about $120 million. So if Florida State tomorrow said, we paid the money, we're free and clear, then the SEC could consider them. And then we would see what happens.
Don't you think we'll make that up just in a couple of years? Because the ACC pays us, I can't use the word, but poorly.
Well, Robin, it's a little bit more complex. Yeah, ultimately it would be worth it, but when you're trying to balance the budget as a public institution, you just can't say, well, you know, we're going to spend $120 million and we'll figure it out as we go along. Hey, thanks for the call. John is up next. John in Louisville. John, that would be simple, wouldn't it, if you just tell the board of trustees, no problem?
Waiting for that call, aren't they? Just
we're
like
down 100.
State and,
yeah. We're $150 million in debt, but we'll pay you back when we can. We're going to have a bake sale tomorrow.
Just like Oregon State and Washington State want someone else's money so they can buy a membership into the Mountain West. So, hey, great analysis by Thamel, and I love the way you pulled Al Duncan's chain today.
Yeah, I mean, I hope people that were watching or listening, I was just role-playing. I know that sounds kind of goofy.
I know.
We were literally having fun, although I don't think she knew I was doing that. So I was saying a lot of things that if quoted and aggregated, I would look really silly. But I was just kidding, of course.
You went through all the talking points very well. And shout out to two Alabama former players, Jahmyr Gibbs and Brian Branch, showed up at the Lion Kansas City game. In fact, Brian Branch had a pick six.
Yeah, I saw that. That was amazing.
And I know the Three Amigos dumped on ESPN, but I got to tell you a quick story before I get to the games coming up. I jumped in my car from the airport to listen to your show and what was on U.S. Open. I felt Jeff's pain there. And so I raced home. I'll just switch on the TV, and I forgot I had Spectrum. So there you go. But and it's good to have Jim back calm and composed. But on the games this weekend, Paul, obviously the big games, Alabama, Texas. But and I'm not interested in what's being played out west late at night by two unranked teams, nor am I interested in Nebraska on the road since they're 0-1. But what other games move you this weekend? I'll tell you one, and you can add to it. Is Miami that bad, and is Texas A&M that good? That's the only game other than the Alabama-Texas game.
Yeah, I think, you know, for our purposes, John, I'm probably most interested in Texas A&M and Miami because a lot of things, you know, really the loser of this game is just going to be vilified either way, but especially if it's Texas A&M. You know, the prime game, I think that's a sideshow. I mean, that has no real relevance in terms of the season. I think both schools are going to struggle from here on, but yeah, that's probably. I'm also intrigued by Auburn at California. I think it's a very tricky game for Auburn.
Who do you think's winning the Mississippi Tulane game? Those are two interesting teams.
I like Ole Miss, but I think it will be a if I could sound like Keith Jackson, a grab hold of the back of your seat type of finish.
Yeah, well, God help the one that loses the Miami-Texas A&M because they'll make legends hot takes. And God help the Alabama coordinators if Alabama loses that game because they will make legends hot takes.
Thank you, buddy. Appreciate it very much. Let's check in next with Bash in Boulder. Hello, Bash.
Paul Feinbaum, how are you doing today?
We are doing great. Thank you.
I just want to say that was a great first hour of guests that you had, almost completely perfect lineup with Tim Tebow and Roman Harper. I would almost say that everything was perfect except for one guest, but I wanted to ask you a question about the two biggest cover teams over this weekend in the Colorado Buffalo and the Alabama Crimson Tide and how they can relate to each other.
Well, listen, I'd love to answer that question, Bash, but we're out of time. This has been a breakneck show. We're 2 hours in. We're nowhere close to being done. I hope you'll stick around.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.